the Limestone Coast Triple M.
Know-it-alls footy and netball show. Thanks to the team at Barry Maney Hyundai. Test drive the all-new Hyundai Kona today. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M.
Morning again, listeners. Milo, Triple M, keeping country, netty and footy alive. And, of course, that's compliments to the Barry Maney Hyundai Know-It-Alls footy team beaming out from Mount Gambier across the Limestone Coast southeast. Of course, we're in the race for grand finals at this stage. We're going to round up the Barry Maney Hyundai Know-It-Alls footy and netty team, talk all about it, and we'll put in calls to our award winners, OK Pie Shop and Federal Hotel. Stay tuned.
The Limestone Coast Triple M.
Know-It-Alls footy and netball show. Thanks to the team at Barry Maney Hyundai. Test drive the all-new Hyundai Kona today. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M.
Welcome back, listeners. Milo, we're going to talk netty. It's me to see the Family League regular commentator. Good morning, Kirsty Johnson.
Good morning, Milo.
Now, we've been waiting patiently for Port Mac to get their full side. Well, they did, and it all happened at Congrong, and they defeated Mount Burr 44-34 in that first semi. Obviously, Mount Burr had a go, but Port Mac had the goods on the day.
Yes, well, Milo, this is, as I said last week, first time that Port Mac have actually had their full side, so Fiona Roach, the coach, was pretty happy. And with Tony Gilmore shooting 90%, that would have been a great bonus for the Port Mac girls. I think the weather may have held, had a little bit of a problem there for Mount Boo with the shooting, the goalies. I watched a little bit of the game and yeah, it was a little bit windy in stages. A very even game, but Port Mac would pull away, then Mount Boo would come back. But in the end, Port Mac just had that edge. And with the height of Megan Hine and Ash Allen, was pretty difficult because they're very, very good combination. So, yes, no, good luck to Port Mac, bad luck to Mount Burr, and Port Mac has got the second chance.
Yeah, invaluable, that experience of someone like Tony Gilmore, of course. Now, that leads us into Murrah. Undefeated Glencoe, they will take on Kalangadoo, the premiership specialists. It'll all happen by the seaside at Port Mac. Going to be quite inclement conditions. You never know. The sun might poke out and surprise everybody. But during the year, Glencoe won 52-49, 45-41. So there's not a lot in it. And Mel Russell comes back in as a regular after her duties with the 141 Pioneers. So game on. Can Glencoe or Kalangadoo get the direct pass to the grand final at Mount Burr in a couple of weeks?
Oh, look, Milo, it's a huge bonus to have Melissa Russell back into the side with her height, experience and, you know, very, very accurate goalie. In saying that, look, Glencoe have been travelling really, really well the whole season, full of confidence, a great team where you've got the youth and the depth of the experience there as well. And, look, when you look at both those sides, the matchups, it's going to be fantastic. I watched the last game they played and I thought it was one of the best games I've seen between these two sides. And look, I think it's just going to come down to the goalies and probably the team that settles the best. I'm going to actually pick Glencoe. I think they've really been in control throughout the season. As I said, look, Melissa Russell will be a huge bonus, but I think Glencoe are ready. And, you know, while you've got that chance and, you know, they're sitting in top position, and I'm sure that they're going to come out firing, as will Kalangadoo, but I just think Glencoe are going to win it, but it's going to be a ripper of a game.
We move our attention to Sunday at the Millicent Civic Centre and it'll be the awards afternoon. Who are some of the names you've come up with for the best and fairest?
Oh, look, you can't go past Abby Duncan and Jade Peacock from Kalangadoo, Milo. And look, Sarah Edwards, youngster from Glencoe, I think she's had a fantastic season, as have the two goalies in Melinda Markovic and Jenna Pitt. But my pick is Abby Duncan again. I think she's had a fantastic season. She's a very, very accurate goalie, does a lot of work. And also, Milo, the Under-21 award, I'm going to pick Sarah Edwards. Lara McGregor from Hatherley has had a good season, but I just think Sarah has really, really stepped up coming back from Western Border of North and coming back to play for Glencoe. So I'm picking Sarah in the under-21s.
Okay, let's hope what you've intimated occurs. We have a crackerjack rematch between Glencoe and Kalangadoo at Port Mac tomorrow. Kirsty, you'll be able to tell us all about it, why, where, whatever, and I'll see you at the medal count on Sunday.
No worries, Milo. All the best to all these teams. As we know, they've got a double chart, but it'd be great.
The Limestone Coast Triple M.
Know-It-Alls footy and netball show. Thanks to the team at Barry Maney Hyundai. Test drive the all-new Hyundai Kona today. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M.
And Milo Triple M keeping Country Natty alive. We move to Western Border Super 6 regular commentator. Good morning, Tracy Laley.
And good morning to you, Milo.
We had a taste of finals action on Saturday at Blue Lake Sports Park. Millicent 60, too good for West Gambia 29. And Jungle Drums tell me that Millicent stamped their authority very, very early in this contest, Tracy.
Yeah, that's right, Milo. Millicent went in and, you know, it was 15-7 at quarter time. And they were saying, we're heading straight to the grand final.
On their home courts again. So there you go. So it all stacks. I think from memory, 11 in a row is what they're hunting for. And the ex-coach, multi-medalist Donna Denton, she fires up when the big prize is on the end of it, doesn't she?
That's for sure. She was outstanding in her performance on Saturday. And, yep, she led her team home.
Now we move to Sunday's clash, and East Gambia and North Gambia did the business, and this was a different sort of game, up for grabs, and 42-34, so East obviously edged ahead at the right time.
That's correct. Yeah, look, we saw East head straight out of the blocks. It was 13-3 at one stage, and that may have been the quarter-time score. North kept tabs on him over the next two quarters, and it was all locked up at three-quarter time. Anyone's game, but it was East that came out and they hit the first six goals after three-quarter time. So it was a great match, very physical in the ring by both sides, but there were some outstanding performances on court, and Morgan Amy and Tyne Bosco were outstanding for East there.
Now, that means that West Gambia enjoy their second chance. They take on East. Now, head-to-head during the season, West have had the wood over East. 14-9, 18-9 has been the margin. So East really have to turn it around in a hurry. Do you think East Gambia can get West on the way down?
I'm going to tip East at this stage. I was impressed with what I saw on Sunday from East Gambia. I do like Sarah Smith in the goal shooter position there. There'll be some exciting clashes on court. West certainly, being placed second all year, have so much to offer. Lisa McGregor and Morgan Amy, their clash at one end will be exciting there. And another big clash, Tennille Gray, of course, has had an outstanding season at goal attack for East. Her opponent, Amy Cram, will not give her an inch of room in the goal ring. And the two centres there, Emily Hunter and Tyne Bosco, the young Tyne Bosco, should give Emily Hunter a really good run for her money.
North will do it well hosting that, and that's over the Mac of Anstart Park, of course. And I think there'll be a lot of people who will come just to watch the netball. Now, of course, Monday night, to Casson, we have the awards evening. Give us your names for best chances to take out the best and fairest.
This is from the season. Phil Tennille Gray, winner last year, has had an outstanding season yet again for East Gambia in the goal attack position. I put Hayley Dunn in there from Millicent in the goalkeeper position. She does a lot of damage in that position under the ring, and I think she'll pick up a lot of votes for that. And I've got Emily Hunter from West Gambia and Mel Renko, centre court for North, who will also be big vote getters in for their clubs.
And give us a couple of names for Casson. It'll be a little sideline competition. Who might get up with the most votes from Casson Sanford?
Madeline Cleary has had a very consistent year in her couple of positions at Casson. And Scarlett Jarrod in the wing defence and centre. She's a very dogged little player. And I'll expect that they'll both be eye-catching and vote-getters for the Cats.
Tracy, thanks for your coverage. I'll catch up with you at the Mecca and also on Monday night. I know Cass and Samford will do a great job, as they always do, turning on the best. All the best. Travel safe, and let's hope the best teams win.
Yes, thank you, Milo, and all the best for everyone.
The Limestone Coast Triple M, KNT 40, thanks to Raiders Estate. Check out their events on Facebook.
Yes, Milo, Triple M, keeping country footy alive, and that's compliments to the Barry Manny Hyundai troop. your spot for the Hyundai motor vehicles, of course. Hello to Paul and Jamie from Uncle Milo. Now, we're talking K&T and, of course, deep into the final series, but we'll slip back a couple of weeks to the awards presentation. And there's a very prestigious award that is presented up there, and it's in memory of Scott McFarlane, a very talented young footballer from Bordertown who has tragically lost his life in a motor vehicle accident. From the Bordertown Footy Club, and I saw him play, and he was destined to play footy at a very high level, and he'd already been up for a bit of a taste at Glenelg. Now, fast forward, and the winner this season come from the Keith Crows, and he's on the line. Congratulations on a good season, Will McMurray.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was a very good season for the Crows. Unfortunately, we quite didn't make the finals, but yeah, it was a very good year. Coming off a very successful year last year, but yeah, so yeah, thank you very much.
And you piled quite well in the medal, so you would have been pretty chuffed going along. And we all go along thinking, oh, well, I played a good game here, a good game there. Did your vote sort of reflect what you thought you did as a player this year?
Oh well, I never really took much notice of what games I might poll in or what games I wouldn't. So yeah, I was very chuffed with the results I achieved, and yeah, there's a lot of the Keith boys did quite well with their polling of votes this year, and yeah, so it was good to see.
Now, Keith went within a smidgen of pinching a premiership on your home ground off Mundulla in atrocious conditions last year. It wasn't to be. This year, struck by injuries, you lost a few key players, including the big fella, Billy Laurie, who didn't surprise me of making a regular position for himself at North Adelaide in the league. And, of course, coach from last few seasons, George Shring, he's been troubled by knee problems, but really it meant that it was a revamp of the side. So really probably a development rebuilding year at the Keith Crows this year, Will.
Yeah, absolutely. I think out of our grand final side, we lost 12 or 13 players. So we've had a big rebuilding year, and unfortunately losing Bill Laurie to North Adelaide this year. Ben Simmons, obviously, our key forward from last year, he was a big loss. But yeah, we recruited a few players, and a few locals come back, such as Jack Jones from school, and a few other younger fellas. Yeah, losing Thringy halfway through the year to a knee injury was hard, because yeah, we rely on him a fair bit, but yeah, it was a bit of a tough year, but yeah, it was majority of the year was quite successful for us. So yeah, it was a good year with a new team, and yeah, hopefully look forward into next year.
Now, in your pathway, you're back living and playing footy, obviously, at the Keith Crows. You were a traveller last year, PAC for college, and also Glenelg. Just the Glenelg experience, what did you bring back as a player to the footy you're playing now from that tilted at a higher level?
Oh, obviously, I've been in the Glenelg junior ranks since the academies in the southeast, and just the different brands of footy that the Sandfield plays to the country leagues, and the different rules, and obviously different coaching, and playing with different blokes. It's a really good experience to see what the different brands of footy like around the South Australian and the whole league. So it was good.
Just
bring a few different things back to the club, and yeah, hopefully we can take those things and develop our club further.
Now, you mentioned academies, and that's a big tick, and it's an opportunity to step up and see if you really want to make that commitment. But the competition this year, the stand pretty good up there, because you had your turn on occasions getting a couple of big scalps. So it was on the day on a lot of games in K&T footy during the season.
Yeah, that's right. So, no, it was good. Yeah, yep.
Now, finals, you guys are out of it, so you can watch it and get hungry again. And we're down to three. Obviously, Lucendale, the direct ticket, and they recruited very well in the second half of the season. They built for this. Now, to have another opportunity, Mundulla reigning premiers will do battle with KLU this Saturday at Kyabe Bowlight. Who do you like in that one to have a dig at Lucendale in the grand final on the big paddock Penola in a couple of weeks' time?
It's going to be a very interesting to see this week, but I reckon Mundulla will go back to back. I reckon Lucendale were very strong on the weekend. I went went down to Francis and watched the game. So, yeah, Lucindale just run over him in the end. But I think Mundalla will knock off KL this weekend. And I think they'll bounce back, and I think they might just get over the ruse. So,
yeah, Mundalla got a habit. When they get in there, they do win them. Now, I've been talking to Will McMurray, very worthy winner, local boy back home at the Keith Groves. He's picked up the Scott McFarlane Rising Star, polled very well in the Marlon Virgo medal as well. All the best. You know you set yourself a standard going forward, Will. All the best to you and the Keith Groves for 2020.
Yep, thank you very much. Thank you.
The Limestone Coast Triple M, KNT 40, thanks to Raiders Estate. Check out their events on Facebook.
Yes, we're still in the Big Get League segment. KNT regular commentator is the big cougar on the bench. Good morning, Mel Coates.
Good morning, Milo. How's things, mate?
Yeah, all happening in Triple M, the heart of Mount Gambier, accompanied to the Barry Manny Hyundai Noodles footy team. And you're part of that team. Now, I know you went and had a look at the second semi on Saturday, Lucindale and Mundalla clash. Now, half time, Mundalla 8-5, Lucindale 3-8. But the Blue Roos come out 6-0. What brought that about? And surely Mundalla would have had the opportunity with their personnel to shut them down.
I think they tried to a little bit, but the big men came to play. The coach, Spriggs, all lifted at half time, and they came out and just ran amok in the third term.
Yeah, and Spriggs' name, best player, Aaron Filkey, that's one of those big names. Tommy Logan in the...
And they did the usual suspects.
And they did a bit of a switcheroo from defence to forward line, and it worked, apparently.
Yeah, they took one of their tall defenders away, put him up forward, and he kicked 3 goals and was a real focal target.
Yeah, Riley Milne, and that's the flexibility that you got to have come finals, and I know you prepare for that during the year if you're a wise coach. So that means that, of course, Lucindale, direct ticket to the grand final, and from where they started, I saw their first game against Panola up there at the Eagles' home ground, and Lucindale were a long way off it, but... Gee, they recruited well, they've moulded well, and now they're in the grand final, and it's a very interesting season in KNT. That led us to Sunday, and your mob were involved, KLU and Panola, and at halftime you had them, 4-6 to 1-4, in difficult conditions. Sorry, that was quarter time. For the rest of the game, you kicked 5 goals, they managed 6, but... In their 7 goals, and this has really had a big part to do with KLU advancing to the preliminary final this week, the merits, Adam and Brad, no goals apiece. So really, you did a job on them.
Yeah, the two guys back there and the rest of the defenders and the on-balls really put their heads down and worked really hard, and it was really good to see them get some reward, some of those guys back there.
Yeah, and obviously you're talking Cameron DeVizza and Chris Meyer, and I said, it's a team effort back there. Now, from your point of view, I know you went in without a couple of key players and a few niggles that had to come up. Any more injuries of note at this stage that might...
It was only a short week, so we're certainly going to give a couple of blokes right till probably nearly Saturday morning to see how they are. Mm. Training last night, they say they got through, but we'll make a decision in the morning.
Very wise. Now, it all happens at Kybie, and it will be Mundalla versus KLU for the second spot in the 2019 Grand Final, which will be played on the big paddock of Panola. Now, head-to-head, early in the season at Mundalla, you defeated them by 40 points. And then last round, not so long ago, on your home patch, they defeated you by 20 points. So we split the difference, and it should be a good game.
Yeah, split the difference and start again, eh?
Mm. So from what you gleaned, Mundalla looked like they picked up any injuries or niggles that might hamper their...
No, they look like they all finished the game pretty well, I think. So they should be pretty right. I suppose the worrying thing out of last Saturday's game was Lucindale had Gratz, Stewart, and another one out. So they've got some to come back in. But Mundalla got through it. Like I said, we've got a couple that will give to the last minute to see how they come up. But no, it's no excuses tomorrow, Milo. It's as it have been from now on. Every side the losers after last week is out. That happened last week, so we're hoping to go one better than last year.
Yeah, probably your scenario and being a bit not concrete in what you're going to have probably throws Mundell away, but I've got to give the Cougars a big tick because you just keep coming back. You adjust what you got, and you obviously have a plan for various teams. May the best teams win, and I'll be waiting with interest for those final scores to come through.
Yes, I think you'll probably hear me if we win.
All right, you might shock me and wear long trousers as well, Mel.
Hey, that's going too far.
You keep everyone cool and calm on that Cougars bench, and you never know, you might be snarling. Travel safe, and obviously it's going to be a showpiece of K&T footy. Thanks, Mel.
Yeah, thanks, Milo.
The Limestone Coast Triple M.
Know-it-alls footy and netball show. Thanks to the team at Barry Mady Hyundai. Test drive the all-new Hyundai Kona today. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M.
Triple M's Western Border Player of the Week, thanks to OK Pie Shop, celebrating over 60 years of traditional baking.
Best greetings again, listeners. Milo, Triple M, keeping country footy alive. And, of course, that's with the help of the Barry Manny Hyundai Know-It-Alls footy team. Now, we're talking Western Border Super 6, and it was down to Super 4, the Fab 4, in fact. And finals action started last weekend, and the first hit out was on the big paddock at Blue Lake Sports Park. Arch rivals and old co-tenants at of Vansittart Park many, many years ago, North and West doing battle. And in the end, it was North Gambier racking up a win and getting that direct pass to the grand final. And that was by 19 points. Quite an entertaining game, but you pretty well got the impression most of the day that North were in control. And as usual, they had a pretty even bunch of contributors. There was one player that has continued with his good form that he's been in all season. He's already a premiership player. Congratulations on a good game, Fraser Marshall.
Thanks, Milo.
Yeah, good to have you on. And interesting scenario. You're part of that on-ball rotation, but I think things were done a little bit different on the weekend, and I knew Justin would probably have a little bit of a plan for Blue Lake Sports Park, and I think he made that come to pass with the help of you players. Now, your game on the weekend, you seem to do most of your good work behind the ball, picking it up and defencing and thumping it back into attack.
Yeah, not necessarily intentionally set up that way, but I guess the way West play, found myself just behind the footy a little bit more than usual, but not an intentional game plan from the start to find myself back there as much as I was, I suppose.
Now, as I said, one of the secrets to North Gambier is the cohesion and synergy, and when you go and watch footy, when people are confident in each other, they run to the spaces. And they know they're going to get the ball. And I think that is so prevalent at North Gambier. It must make it a lot easier to play in a team like that.
Yeah, absolutely. The team we've got on the park at the moment, especially, a lot of trust in one another. We try to make sure if we've got, you know, one or two that need to go in, and the other people can spread and create from there and sort of trust each other to do our part and get on the end of it.
Yeah, and I've got to make comment, Brett Kennedy, he had a bit of a break from footy, and I reckon he's come back better. He's getting a lot more field possessions, and you boys don't hesitate to use him as that link player either.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, BK, and probably, I guess, a few of our issues last year, the season we had last year, was a lot to do with missing him as well, I think. He competes hard in the ruck. He's generally undersized as a ruckman, but he competes really hard in the ruck, and then he's almost like an extra on-baller for us when the ball hits the deck. So, yeah, he's really important to us.
Now, 2016, you played in the flag. Now, obviously, you felt both sides of the coin with East Gambier defeating you down at Island Park in 2017. Now, last year, I watched North on quite a few occasions, and a very dispirited unit, and I've observed you over many, many seasons. Now, this year, Justin McConnell comes back in. You're one of the players that hasn't heard the philosophies and the key factors that Justin looked for. Just a comment on Justin and maybe the difference he's evoked back in that Tigers outfit.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose I'll probably start that off with how fantastic Winnis Imbie was for the club. He was an incredible coach in his 3 years here, and a great man as well. And I think a lot of that success we had in 16, and especially on grand final day, definitely could have been credited a lot more to him than it probably is. So it was unfortunate last year in Winners' last year that, you know, we had the season we did. But yeah, Justin coming in, he's been fantastic. He's making things very simple. Everyone knows what they need to do. And yeah, he's an absolute gun, Justin. So it's been great having him back on board, not only as a coach, but also as a player as well, to have him coming out of full forward makes life a bit easier too.
And the other thing is Justin is a teacher, and I'm going to highlight two lads that actually didn't play in the seniors on the weekend, but they're obviously being groomed for things up the track. Jordan Hatt and Tom Gould, and I've watched their advancement this year, and that's an indicator of a coach and his capabilities to me.
Yeah, and he's got a real incredible knack to be able to get people on board and everyone moving in the same direction. And you could name more people like Gouldie and Hattie that have really bought into what Justin's doing and the message he's sending. And, yeah, he's really infectious in the way he brings everyone on board.
And the other one is a coach comes in and a new coach for this player as well. He wasn't an A-grade footballer before this year. Number 55, Brett Shepherdson. He'd have to be the most improved player at North Cambrian. If they've got a dedicated trophy, if he doesn't win it, there's something wrong.
Absolutely. And I actually thought when you said I was getting a few kicks in the back line that you might have been mistaking me for him on the weekend. But, yeah, he's got himself fit. He's a great guy. He's fit into the club perfectly. And, yeah, he's really reaped the rewards of his hard work over summer and found himself a home at halfback. Just doing everything the team needs him to do, and yeah, he's been a great addition for us.
Now I've been talking to Fraser Marshall, and he's North Canberra on-baller. He fits into that very even rotation group that are managed very well by Scotty Flett on the sidelines, and of course Justin McConnell on field. And he's the winner of our OK Pie Shop Player of the Week, as we heard in that jingle in the opener there. $50 voucher. Big thank you to Dwayne Barrett and the team at the OK Pie Shop, and of course celebrating 75 years of traditional baking. All the best in the lead up and in the grand final over at Millicent Fraser, and I'll get that $50 voucher out to you.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me, Milo. Cheers, mate.
My pleasure.
The Limestone Coast Triple M.
Know-it-alls footy and netball show. Thanks to the team at Barry Maney Hyundai. Test drive the all-new Hyundai Kona today. Local sport on the local you know. 963 Triple M.
Smiler Triple M, keeping country footy alive, and that's the help of the Barry Maney Hyundai Know-It-Alls footy team. We're talking Western Border Super 6, who were down to the Fab 4 and finals action last weekend. Talking the Hyundai Know-It-Alls footy team. Good morning, Keith Hooker-Ransom.
Good morning, Milo.
Now, you, like myself, had a look at finals action, and on the big paddock, Blue Lake Sports Park, windy conditions, but other than that, it was pretty good. North and West clashed, and it was a pretty interesting tussle all day, and you got the feeling North had control, and on the scoreboard, it only sort of started to beacon out at three-quarter time, 8-11 to 3-8, and they went on to win by 19 points. But overall, again, their even spread of players that contribute got them over the line for me.
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you look from their back line to their midfield, and they were prepared to use the midfield and go through the corridor, Milo, to attack the goals, whereas West just seemed to want to chip the ball around and play that little game on a big oval. It doesn't work on those big grounds. You kick the ball long and you go through your corridor as best you can, and give you forwards first use. If he's had a kick straight in that first quarter, it would have been different. 1-5.
Now, in terms of North, just highlighting it, they do go that short kick, but the next one is long. So the short kick is to get the break to go over the top, and that brings the likes of Sam Stafford and Tom McClellan into action. And probably looking at the two sides, it's that lack of those genuine talls that cost West all the time for me.
Yeah, probably did in a sense, but you're right. But the short kick come from their half back line and it went through the middle of the ground. As you remember, Brett Kennedy would have taken probably 10 or at least 10 marks in the middle of the oval.
Yes.
And when he had to, he set off by hand, but He also has a nice kick on him as well, and he gave the forwards the first use straight away. So,
So
congratulations to him.
Well, that tells you about North. They don't worry who it is. If someone's free, there is first option give football, and that's what team footy's all about. Now, that led us into Sunday, and we knew that Caston Sanford would come over and had a red-hot dip. Now, right from the start, it was a situation where don't use the win properly, you're going to lose this game. And it was interesting. Caston Sanford 4-2 to East Gambier 3-5. Sorry, 1 point to 3-5. Not reading my sheet here properly. East probably, to me, blew it in that first quarter because they should have perhaps kicked another three goals, Keith.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look at West score, Milo, 1-5 in the first. If you don't get that score on the board early, you're against the flow straight away, aren't you? Mm. So they just seem to be, chasing Caston there for a little while in that first quarter. But after that, they took control. And three-quarter time, a 37-point lead, was it, Milo?
Yeah, well, it was 9-7 to 5-4. And I suppose everyone there got the impression that, Caston Sanford had got the job ahead of them. But they do have that breeze, which was still worth three or four goals. Now, they lifted the tempo, and it was a totally different side that we saw for the previous quarters, and their confidence just blossomed, and they wanted it more than East Gambier. You got the distinct impression East thought would just happen, where Caston made it happen. They got a sniff, and I'll tell you what, the Caston and Cat Attack crowd, I reckon they were worth three goals there on Sunday, Keith.
I did. I was getting excitable around that shed. I was standing next to the mayor of Caston for a little while, and by geez, I up and at them once they kicked that first two or three goals and got within that 18 points of East or whatever it was. But, Milo, I've got to give credit to that. I haven't got the sheet in front of me, but number 30 for Caston, he came off earlier in the game at half time with a popped shoulder.
Yes, and he was apparently in a bit of trouble too.
Well, apparently they put the shoulder back in. He went back out. Now, this just shows me the hunger that Caston had, the courage that lad showed.
Mm.
He'd actually come out again halfway through that last quarter. He went off and come straight back out, and I reckon he knew he kicked the winning goal for him.
He kicked two last quarter goals, and it was Justin Carlin. And I know you highlighted in your time at Caston, he caught your eye as someone that had a bit of ability. And I tell you what, it came to the fore, and his courage, as you said, was exemplary. So let's hope that settled down okay, because I had visions of Barry Dunn, a great battler from our era, who used to bang his shoulder back in himself. But, like Justin looked like he was gone for the world, but the magic tape and a bit extra got him back there. And as you said, that typified the fact that, as I highlighted, Caston wanted it, and they really backed that up with their effort.
Well, if you were a part of that team, Milo, and you've seen that lad, and I might add he's not an elder player here, he's only a young fellow. If he's gone to interchange, you think, well, his day's done, and he has the courage to come back out and continue. That's got a lift in itself. So, look, East were just disappointing in certain areas, I suppose, Milo, where I reckon there was a couple of marks dropped in front of goals there late in the quarter. And the thing that surprised me is when they kicked that quick point, they all took a deep breath and said, well, we've got this one.
Yeah.
And I give credit to the guy who picked that ball up as quick as he could. And the new rules, he played onto the scoreboard side, hit a target, hit another target, had a contested ball on the forward line, bang, goal. And all these boys just stood around going, what just happened then?
Seven goals, 4-2, 2-2, 20 scoring shots to 21, and that's footy these days. And the Caston Cats, the Sanford combination, 5 points, and they get an opportunity to head to the Mecca, Vanstart Park, for a twilight game, our first twilight final in the history of Western Border footy, 4 p.m. SA time. West will regroup and they'll take on a vibrant, hungry Caston Sanford, who haven't won a premiership since 1990. So they're on a mission. Now, West Gambier, I'd say Reid Cooler will be back in, and he's a very good player, this young fella. So he's going to help their on-ball rotation and might pick up a goal here and there. Now, the big one is Steve Wenman. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see if he does come up, because they'll need him and his football knowledge and nous wherever they play him, Keith. What's your news? Do you think he'll come back?
Oh, they tell me it's a serious ankle injury, and well, they just didn't have him prepared for this week, last Saturday, sorry. We won't know till we see the team sheets, Milo, but I'd assume he'd play.
Because the big thing with Casson, got a very good bevy of tall players that they can spread around. Trent Nesbitt is the universal player, and he took some very good marks. So it'll all happen. It's 2-1 during the season. The last hit out when Casson, as they are now, having their best team available, defeated West at Island Park by 21 points. On the other occasions, West won by 41 and 58. Game on, Keith. Who do you like at the Mecca tomorrow in the twilight final?
Gee, the weather's a bit drizzly, Milo. I think West will probably have the nudge over with their smaller brigade. I'm going to lean towards West, advance to the park, and I think they'll have the legs to carry him across the line eventually. But, gee, it's going to be a close one. I reckon Caston, the whole town of Caston will be on the march on Saturday to get across to support their team. And they do support their club very well down there. And I wish them all the best, but I'll lean towards West only just.
Probably likewise, but I think we're going to have another crackerjack game, only a goal or two in it. Keith, I'll see you over the Mecca.
See you at the footy.
The Limestone Coast Triple M. Mid-Southeast footy for the Southeastern, the Gambia and the Park Hotels.
Triple M's Mid-SE Player of the Week for the Federal Hotel Mount Gambier. $5 pints from 4 p.m. every day, only at the Fetty.
Yes, welcome back. Listeners, Milo, Triple M, keeping country footy live. Beaming out of the metropolis of Mount Gambier across the Limestone Coast southeast, one of the best places to live in the world, of course. Now, it doesn't happen without a valuable sponsor, Barry Manny Hyundai, and we got the Know-It-Alls team helping me out. Now, talking Mid-SE footy, and as we heard, the jingle, Mid-Southeast Federal Hotel Player of the Week, and a big thank you to Gav at the Federal Hotel for this award. Don't forget Mondays, $10 beef or chicken schnitzel with sauce, only at the Fetty, and go on one better, $5 pints from 4 p.m. every day, only at the Fetty. Of course, Mid-SE Inter Finals all happened at Kongerong last Saturday, and it was Klangadu and Robe doing battle. During the year, Klangadu couldn't manage a win against Robe, and at half-time it was Robe looking okay, 5-3 to 2-4, but Klangadu kicked 7-2 in that second half. They won by 19 points, so they get a rest and they'll play the loser of Glencoe and Hatherley, who clashed this week at Port Mac. In that game, obviously, Klangadu had a lot of very good players, but one of the steady, reliable players for many seasons at the Do, he's on the line. Congratulations on another good game, Jason Bannister.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. G'day to you, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
It was good to get the win.
Well done. Now, progressively, Klangadu have been a work in progress this year. Few new players. They've got the standbys like yourself that have been there for a while. Now, you've been involved in grand finals and you've got a premiership under your belt. Obviously, you're a good gauge. Is that feeling of we've got something here, we're gelling, is that starting to come through at this stage?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're starting to get our straps at the right time of the year. And I think, you know, as you said there, it's sort of a work in progress through the year. And I think the boys are starting to gel, obviously, at the right time of year. So hopefully we keep going.
Now, you're the soldier that roams the defensive zone and you get different matchups. Now, in terms of the side, not a bad blend of youth and experience. And you welcome back a young fella, Ty McManus, who's been playing college footy and at Gunnild. So he obviously brings a bit of life and spark to that team. And I see he played a good game on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he he's obviously all class. And it's great to have him back. And obviously just adds a little bit of extra depth through our midfield rotations. And him and along with young Matthew Davies as well, they both played very well, and it's great to have those guys back at this time of the year.
Now, Andrew Stone, he's had a very good year, and I know Freddie Smith was on his case very early. Do you think Stoney might get enough votes to trouble the scoreboard at the medal count next on Sunday?
Yeah, I think he'll go all right. He's been pretty consistent. It's sort of credit to a good pre-season that he had this year, and the bonus for all the hard work that he's done. So, yeah, hopefully it goes well for him.
Now, just looking at your journey, I know way back you played your junior footy at Panola. What way back initially got you to Klangadu and you stuck around?
Obviously playing up Panola, played all my juniors up there. And,
sort of along the way, sort of got to know Johnny Mills through various connections, and you know, coming out of senior cups, and you know, maybe one reason, you know, you didn't want to have to travel as far for footy on Saturday, so I thought I'd have a go closer to home. And then obviously Johnny gave me a call one day, and that year Michael Jones was coaching. I think it was about 2006, and yeah, never really looked back from there.
And you're still playing with his son, Tyler, who's starting to find the ball a bit. So really at this stage, from an outsider looking in, Kalangadu are ticking all the boxes. Final four situation, you get to have a rest. You've played against both these sides during the year. We're on a sort of a bigger size paddock at Port Mac, Glencoe versus Hatherley. So who do you favour to be the team that goes through to the grand final out of this one?
Well, going off track record, I didn't really look into it other than just the result. But, you know, maybe Glencoe's, you know, in the front running there. But I'm sure it'll be very close. Obviously, a lot of experience there at Hatherley. And when they're on, they're obviously a hard team to beat. So it's hard to pick them, but it should be a good game anyway.
I know that you boys will there be enforced watching every bump, every tackle, seeing if any niggles or injuries. Now, I've been talking to Jason Bannister, long-term servant, premiership player, looking for another flag with the Kalangadu Magpies, and he was our Federal Hotel $50 Player of the Week for Mid-SC Footy. I'll get that voucher out to you, Jason. You enjoy, and good luck in the preliminary final at Mount Burr in a couple of weeks' time.
No worries, Nigel. Thanks for your time, mate. Cheers.
The Limestone Coast Triple M. Mid-Southeast footy for the Southeastern, the Gambia and the Park Hotels.
Yes, Milo, still talking footy, and that's compliments to the Barry Manny Hyundai Know-It-Alls footy team beaming out of the metropolis across the Limestone Coast and into the Western Districts, Victoria. Good morning, all those Mexicans that want to keep tabs on what's happening over here. Now, we put in the call every Friday morning deep into the bowels of the SE Times. He's a one-league man. Good morning, Freddie Smith.
Yes, good morning to you, Milo.
Now we're into the finals action, and the boys didn't let us down, Kalangadu and Robe, in that first semi. And Robe looked like they were in control in sort of trying conditions, 5-3 to 2-4 at half time, and still in control deep into that quarter. But Kalangadu, 7 goals, Robe 2 in the second half, 19-point win by Kalangadu. So they march on.
They do indeed, Milo. They were looking down the barrel deep into that third quarter. They'd only kicked 2 goals up to that stage, and they were almost 4 goals behind. But a couple of big goals from their veteran ex-coach, Ben Mules, that set the team alight. Another one from Ben Gregory, who was, I think was probably best on ground. They were in striking distance at the last change, and they finished off well. Plenty of run. They had that bye in round 18. The Roosters had a couple of players not fully fit, and the reigning premiers didn't defend their title.
Ben Gregory, floating key forward. How did he play it? How was he used?
That's as good a game as I've seen him play, Milo. He's been there for the last 2 seasons. He's working in the area as a stock agent. And good mark, reads the play well, got a couple of vital goals. So clearly, in my book, best on ground.
Now, an inclusion, Ty McManus. And obviously, his pace is a real bonus when he's been available for the Du Bois.
Yes, Milo, he's been up in Adelaide at Aquinas College and studying at university. He's been playing with the Bays in the underage ranks. And as you said, the pace is vital. Kalangadu got a few grand old men, so to speak, in the side. You need the young ones, and Ty's certainly got that pace.
We must give a well done to Robe, because the players they lost out of that premiership side, they were more than in the mix this year, but in the end it wasn't to be. Now, Freddie, this all means tomorrow we head to Port Mac, Glencoe versus Hatherley, head-to-head, one apiece during the season. Early in the year, it was Hatherley on the big paddock. And the one you and I both had first-eye view of, last round of the season, it was Glencoe, 49-point victors. And that was all compliments of a very, very good third quarter. And they would go in with a lot of confidence. I suppose we've got to ask, what's changed for Hatherley? And who may be coming back to help bridge that 49-point margin?
It's a big margin to bridge, isn't it, Milo?
Mm.
I think a couple of key forwards will be back. Certainly Brad White's set to play, and he's a big part of the Hatherley attack. And also their ex-coach, Jace Faulkner, I think he'll be back in the mix tomorrow. But they're still missing a couple of others, like Joe Rayson and Jake White, and maybe Matt Fabris might be back. So they might be a little bit stronger, When you look at Glencoe, they're just about at full strength. They haven't had Adam Gregory for most of the year. He had a bad back and hasn't played since June. But otherwise, the Murphy's got a full list to choose from, and I think they'll go straight into the grand final.
The big in should be Lockie Medhurst, who missed that last minor round game because of the effects of concussion, and the Patsell boy as well. So there's pressure on for spots, and they'll be able to pick their very best unit. And unless we don't know about a mishap in the training since that game, I'm probably going to go for Glencoe, but I think it's going to be a great game. Now, Freddie, of course, Sunday, Millicent Civic Centre, we have the male medal. Give us some names that you've come up with.
Yes, Milo, I think it's going to be a three-way race. I like Jake Will, the co-captain from Robe. He got a lot of votes last year, always in the play. You can't go past Brody Foster, that wonderful Glencoe recruit. A record 113 goals in a 16-game season. So well done, Brody. He deserves to get lots of male medal votes. Another one, career best form, we've spoken about in many weeks, is the player Andrew Stone from Klangaroo. Once, like Will, in the play, a non-baller. He's a lion-hearted player, does great work at the bottom of the packs, plenty of speed, and a worthy medalist if it comes his way.
Yeah, and someone's going to have to get a swag of votes from Hatherland. I reckon the veteran, our first Farmer Phil Scanlon Memorial Rookie of the Year, way back, Coach Jared McGrath. He's in the action all the time, so it won't surprise if he is right up there. And the Brody Foster one's going to be very interesting to me because Dylan Childs has had a very good year running the lines from that wing position. So it'll be interesting if they don't cut each other out of votes. But anyway, I think as usual, it'll be a very interesting count. Good luck to everyone at the footy. And Freddie, I'll catch up with you for that medal count on Sunday.
It'll be a great day, Milo.